The cousin of Jesus has just been brutally murdered, and Jesus is experiencing a tremendous pain in his heart, and he decides to go with his disciples to a lonely place to be at peace, to be in prayer, to recover strength. Can you relate to that? Sometime in your life that you had such a great burden, such a great sorrow, that you just needed to be at peace and pray. But when he gets there, he finds a great crowd waiting for him. They had found out where he was going, and they anticipated him. And Jesus does not complain, but rather he begins to heal them, to teach them about the kingdom of God. And that is who Jesus is. And that is what he wants all of us to be through him. We live in a world with great sufferings and burdens, in the midst of great injustices. Why John the Baptist murdered in such a terrible way? Because a drunk king wanted to sympathize with the jealousy and the anger of a woman he was living with. It seems like evil and injustice wins the day. And Jesus doesn't stop this, but rather goes to pray and ends up healing and restoring so many others. And why not his cousin? How many questions we can ask? Why God does the things the way he does? And yet, Jesus wanted John the Baptist to share in the glory of his martyrdom. He himself, Jesus, was going to also die in a very unjust way on the cross. And he did not deny his cousin that glory. Sometimes what we think is the worst for us, in the long term, is the best for us. We don't know how to judge unless we receive wisdom. And I hope that all through the week you have been praying for that wisdom to see beyond the immediate appearance, to try to understand that God is bringing about something much greater. And these people who had gone at great lengths to be with the Lord were not disappointed. And I hope we're not either. We come here to Mass, and we are going to experience an even greater miracle. It's now no longer just multiplication of bread and fish, but now the bread will be transubstantiated and become truly the body, the blood of the Lord Jesus. He's going to feed us with himself so that we too can go forth and bear the burdens of this world as he did, and bring about the kingdom of God through love, through service to the end. Through that sign of the breaking of the bread, through that blessing, Jesus is anticipating what he is going to do with his own body as he breaks it and gives it away to all of us to nourish us for the journey until the end, until we go home in heaven. Today, St. Paul tells the Romans, what can separate us from the love of God? Anguish? Well, yes, it can. How many people fall apart due to anguish? Distress? Yes. Distress can separate us from the love of God. How many times we are so distressed that we give up in despair. But St. Paul is speaking of the new man, the new woman, strengthened, transformed by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. He's precisely so aware of how easy we can fall apart because of those things that he's mentioning, like distress and anguish and famine and the sword and death, that he's communicating to us the good news that if we turn to the Lord, if we are fed with the Eucharist, if we allow Him to truly reign in our hearts, then nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have in Christ that strength to overcome whatever may come. But we need to be so attentive, and we need to give the Lord what we have. Those people only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not enough for that multitude. They could have given up and say, well, you know, we can't do it. Everybody has to go back. But the Lord says, give it to me. What little you have, those few resources that seem so limited, so insufficient, the Lord wants from us that trust, that surrender, to put our meager selves, our littleness, our resources in His hands and trust Him. Only then will we see the miracles of the Lord. That means that the Lord is calling us to full cooperation in the kingdom. Sometimes we say, why doesn't the church do something? My question, who is the church? Who is the church? Each one of us is the church. I remember so well when I was struggling with my vocation, when I was studying in college, and a thought would come to me, one more or less priest is not going to make that much of a difference. If I pray, maybe the Lord will raise up many other priests somewhere else. I'm talking about before I enter the seminary. Isn't that easy for us to do? Why doesn't somebody else do it? I'll just pray. Somebody else do the sacrifice. We are the church. The Lord is looking at you and saying, I love you. I give you my life. Would you do the same? And that takes us to the first reading, when the Lord says, why spend your salary in what doesn't nourish? And the Lord begs us. It's so tender, isn't He? He begs us, come to me and I will satisfy you. I hope you take that reading to heart this week. The Lord addressing you personally and saying, why are you wasting your life, your time, your cares, your resources in what is not going to nourish you? Come to me and I will satisfy you. Don't leave Him waiting.